Welcome to Human Design for Educators, a soul-nourishing podcast for teachers and educational leaders who desire transformative personal and professional growth. I'm your host, Teresa Pembroke, a former senior experienced teacher and leader of over 20 years and the founder and visionary of the Inspired Teacher Co. Through my years of experience of the job, the system, and the industry, I have come to realize there is a huge gap, something that was missing. This is where education and human design meet. Human design is the missing piece. So buckle in, because I'm going to be sharing with you a new way of doing things by guiding you to uncover your unique path to teacher excellence and personal fulfillment, offering intuitive insights and actionable strategies, all designed to optimize your impact and illuminate your path. For too long, teachers have been initiated into a one-size-fits-all system. At our core, we know we are all different, yet we continue to act like there is only one way to teach, one way to be in the system. With record amounts of teachers leaving the industry on the daily and those left behind feeling overworked, overwhelmed, anxious, and burnt out, there must be a better way. Teachers, I see you, I feel you, and I've been you. It's time to do things differently and redefine what it truly means to be a well-resourced teacher. And that's what this podcast is all about. It's time to do things your way instead of the way. Let's dive in. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Human Design for Educators. Thank you so very much for being here and for taking the time to listen in. I greatly, greatly appreciate you. So as I have mentioned online on my socials, for the New South Wales school holiday break, I am going to be releasing only two episodes, one for each of the holiday weeks, and this will stay the same for each of the holiday periods. And the reason why I'm doing this is because I really want to allow the opportunity for teachers and educational leaders to catch up, to digest, to reflect, and to integrate all of the information that I am sharing on the pod. Even though the episodes are intentionally bite-sized, I am very mindful that there is quite a lot of information to take in. And as teachers, we all know the importance of allowing time for processing and for integration. Okay, so let's get into today's episode. It is going to be part one of a two-part series, which is going to be a student case study, which I thought would be super interesting to do and just something a little different to the other episodes that I've done. And whilst this podcast is very much for teachers and educational leaders, of course, we know that human design is relevant to everyone, including our students. So I thought, let's take a little break just for two episodes, do something different, and then jump back into our regular type episodes after the holiday break. So I'll give you a little synopsis around the student, and then we can look at the student's human design chart and see if we can glean any information from there on how we might be able to support this student in a more personalized way in the classroom and also at home. Okay, so this is a real life synopsis, and I'm going to be first and foremost keeping the personal details of the student private. I'm not going to share whether this student is a girl or a boy, or the age of the student. There are also some details that I could share as part of building out this scenario and background, but again, for privacy reasons, I'm going to leave them out of this scenario because we can dive into the chart and get enough information from there based on just this small snippet that I share. So the student is very active, enjoys physical activity, but also does a lot of online gaming. The student has several siblings and enjoys one-on-one time with parents. The student does not enjoy going to school and voices this regularly to the parents. The student is very loud, often makes loud shrieking noises and is attention-seeking. The student has recently been suspended for swearing towards a teacher when asked to complete a task in a subject area that the student does not enjoy. And the student does have a diagnosis of ADHD. Now, with this little synopsis, like I said, there is obviously information that is missing. And if we are looking at the bigger picture, and if I was laying everything out, we would obviously have more information to contribute to building out this student profile. But even with this limited information, let's look at the student's human design chart for some clues on how we might be able to support them. So firstly, the student is a generator. And if you have listened to any of my previous episodes on generators, you will remember that generators have consistent access to what is known as life force energy, which allows them to consistently do. However, this energy should really be reserved for things that bring generators joy and those things that light them up. When they are engaged in these activities, that's when the consistent energy continues to run and replenish. Obviously, there are times in life where generators may have to do things that don't bring them joy or light them up. In this student's case, currently for them, this is going to school. They are in a constant battle with their parents in not wanting to go to school. So this is where, knowing that the student is a generator, it is really important for them to have a balance of things that do bring them joy after school and on weekends that offsets this, or offsets their current issues around going to school and wanting to go to school. For this student, fishing is one of the activities that they love. So making a time for fishing as a family or with a parent during the week or on the weekend would be super supportive to this student. Another way to support this student, particularly as parents, would be to make sure that those activities that do bring joy, that do light this student up, bookend the school day. And this will start to close the gap or bridge the gap back to the student's happiness and helping them stay more aligned with their energy type. In a previous episode, I know I also mentioned the joy for generators being as simple as small pleasures. So again, it might be the student starting each day with their favorite breakfast or their favorite morning drink. It might be that once they are ready for school, in the time before leaving for school drop-off or before they catch the school bus, that they get to set a timer and do something that they love, ride a scooter, play a game. And again, once they return home from school, it's setting up the afternoon and evenings to incorporate those activities that bring joy. As a teacher of this student, knowing the student's interests, passions, likes and dislikes is going to be super important here. Being able to weave these into lessons or guiding and encouraging this student to get involved in groups within the school community where their interests are being developed and nurtured will also be deeply supportive. So essentially, the student's school day starts to be sprinkled with moments of joy and happiness too. It might not be every day, and realistically, it's probably not possible every day. But it sure is something to be mindful of when we are looking at supporting our students within our classrooms and within our schools. Choice boards, for example, the must-dos and can-dos, maybe your can-dos include something you know that this student has an interest or passion in. Introducing a genius hour or inquiry into your classroom that allows this student to dive deeper into what they love. If this student was on an individualized learning plan or behavior support plan, ensuring that when this student needs support to regulate their emotions or if they need time to disconnect, that the strategies or activities that they have in place for this time are the ones that help bring them back into alignment with their joy. These can be like pre-negotiated activities. Putting this episode together really takes me back to some of the students that I have taught who may have, for example, gone and spent time with an OT or a psychologist or a therapist and may have come back to school with like a box of tricks per se. When I reflect back on this, and not for one moment am I suggesting anything untoward against the OT or therapists, because honestly, after teaching kindergarten for 11 of my 20 plus years, I believe one, wholeheartedly in the power of early intervention, and two, that every school should have a team of therapists. But there were occasions where the box of tricks just was never touched. Not because it wasn't offered. Of course, I was there to be in partnership with the student, with the parents, and with the specialists, but because there was nothing of interest for the student. There was no autonomy in putting together the support tools that they needed. As the student is a generator, their strategy is to respond. So supporting this as a teacher or as parents requires some adjustments, For example, asking the student open-ended questions or giving them open-ended direction is literally taking away their integrity and all their autonomy. This is because they will always be in response mode to their environment. So often with open-ended questions or open-ended directions, the student won't know because they literally have to wait and see. They have to respond. Instead, try and give them yes or no questions or two options so that they become less overwhelmed. Even if it becomes a series of two option questions to get to a final answer, the this or that strategy would also work here. Hey teacher, I hope you're enjoying today's episode. I just wanted to jump in for a brief moment to let you know that I have created a free human design chart that will help you understand, connect with, and reflect on all of the information I am sharing with you on this podcast. It's going to give you a personalized overview of how you can optimize your role in the classroom and educational setting. Your human design chart will help you to enhance your teaching effectiveness, elevate your leadership, and nurture your personal well-being and resilience. And I also have a little secret to share with you. Your chart isn't just relevant to your role as a teacher, it is also a deeply supportive tool for all aspects of your life. The best way to use this tool is to download your human design chart, take a screenshot of it on your phone, and have it handy so that you can refer to it and play along as each episode drops. Get my free guide by DMing me the word chart over on Instagram at The Inspired Teacher Co, and I will send the link straight to you. I'll also pop the link to the free guide into the show notes for you. Now, back to today's episode. Being a generator, the student may also respond to things through what are called sacral sounds. These are clues for the teacher or parents, and also the student, like once they become aware of them, about their responses to things. So they might say, for a yes, or they might do a groan like for a no. And it's so easy to pass these off as being rude. And often as teachers and parents, we want to say, use your words. But this is literally a generated child reacting in their true, authentic nature. We have just been conditioned in society to believe this is rudeness, and we're kind of like unaware that this is the way that some people, so your generators and your many gens, respond in a way true to them. So forcing a generator child to use their words rather than sounds is where conditioning begins, and it literally leads them away from following the correct patterns for them emotionally and mentally. And of course, the not self of the generator is frustration. And I feel like this is very present for this student at the moment. They are feeling frustrated because they can feel that their energy is not being used and directed in the correct way or in the most efficient way for them. Again, it's looking at how can we best support the student to move away from this and towards the joy that's going to sustain and nourish them. So the student is a sacral authority, which means the true way that they make decisions is through a gut yes or no. So it's black or white, it's not grey. They will literally feel yes or no in their body. So they are very much a true trust your gut decision maker. And it's interesting how that phrase trust your gut is often thrown around. Even though this is a common phrase, it actually doesn't apply to everyone. So asking the student about this and ask where they feel this in their body, this will help them tune into their body and their awareness when they are making decisions. We are conditioned to believe that our mind makes our decisions, but this is not true. Our mind is simply an ally. And we're going to be covering off authority after the holiday break. We will be taking a deeper dive into the different types of decision-making centers and looking at how we can become more aware of and tap into using the correct one for us. Some other aspects of the student's human design chart that I wanted to cover off in part one of the case study is that the student has lots of undefined or open energy centers in their human design body graph. In fact, 7 out of the 9 are undefined or open. So these are the white shapes on the body graph. And again, we will have upcoming episodes on each of these energy centers. But just briefly, in these undefined or open centers, we absorb and amplify the energy in our environment. So especially for this student, having 7 out of the 9 undefined or open centers means that they are very susceptible to influence, to conditioning and modeled behaviors, including from their role models. So there are so many amazing giftings that come with having an undefined or open center. And again, we'll cover off those at another time. But for the purpose of this episode, I'm going to share how the student will most likely experience the absorb and amplify aspect of the centers and the things that as a teacher or parents that we can be mindful of. So the student has an undefined solar plexus, which is the emotional energy center, which means that the emotions that they experience in their environment will be absorbed and amplified. What might feel like a 2 out of 10 bad feeling to someone with a defined solar plexus will feel like a 100 out of 10 for this student. So if we are supporting this student, it's really important for them to have the opportunity to release the emotions that they gather from their environment during the day. So that might be at home once they get home in the home environment. But at school, as the teacher, it's being mindful that any emotional tension or any emotions at all in the classroom or on the playground are again going to be amplified for this student. So having those safe places in our classrooms, implementing social and emotional learning practices into your teaching and classrooms, and teaching and guiding this student in how to discharge this energy safely at school is going to be deeply supportive for this student. Also, learning strategies that help with forming discernment around what are their emotions and what are the emotions of others. This can be overwhelming and confusing, especially for a child, but when they understand when they are feeling someone else's emotions as opposed to their own, it will become easier. The student has an undefined root center, which is the stress or pressure center, which means that they may tend to rush things. This is to be free of the pressure. Again, similarly to the undefined solar plexus, they will absorb and amplify the stress and pressure in their environment, so at home and at school. So you can see how this could become a volatile mix. Putting practices in place to support this student to discharge and unwind and avoid becoming exhausted and burnt out will be really, really important. The student has an undefined throat, which is the manifestation or expression center, and manifestation as in it's how they bring things to life, which means that they may tend to try and seek attention. This comes from the fear of worrying that others won't notice them. So a little tip here for teachers and parents would be to invite the student to speak, ask questions and give them an opportunity to respond. Remember, this ties in with their strategy. So if they are not given things to respond to, they are going to attention seek and initiate, which means that they then fall out of alignment with their generator response and they become frustrated and the cycle keeps going around and around. The shrieking and loudness that I mentioned in the synopsis are examples of this too. So sometimes they might also speak out of turn due to awkwardness or pressure, which is also related to the root center I just mentioned. The student has an undefined spleen, which is the intuition, health and well-being center, meaning that they are very vulnerable in their physical health and general sense of well-being. And feeling good is very inconsistent, and they are very susceptible to others' conditioning as well. So again, think absorbing and amplifying. So choosing people and things that are healthy for this student is key. Even more key is for the student to learn to do this for themselves. The student could want to act spontaneously, like to chase those feel-good feelings that they don't have that consistent access to. But generally, it is better for an undefined spleen to remember to not sacrifice their own safety for the sake of feeling good. So you can see how this could get tricky with peer pressure, right? The student also has an undefined ajna, which is the center of opinions, ideas, and insights. This can sometimes look like pretending to be certain about something when really the student does not understand. So This student might give off the energy of understanding the learning that the teacher is guiding them through, but in reality, they might be sitting there and really not be connected at all. So undefined minds often tend to be highly creative and incredibly intellectual. And because they have no fixed way of being, they are really dynamic thinkers as well. The student has a completely open head, which is the inspiration center. So when supporting this student with this aspect of their design, the key to keeping this center healthy is being super mindful of the inspiration and consumption that this student is exposed to. So social media, gaming, TV are all going to be incredibly impactful. So making sure that the student has access to healthy sources of inspiration is really important. Again, being open in this center means that the student can be susceptible to taking on other people's ideas, other people's influence and thinking. So for this student, being taught and learning those skills around discernment and guiding this student to ask, what do I think? Is this really what I'm thinking? Or am I just thinking this because someone else has said, or someone else has told me, or I've watched it somewhere? It's, again, really, really important. Okay, beautiful people, this has been a lot to cover in one episode. As I mentioned earlier, this is a two-part case study and we will cover off part two next week. I hope that all of the information that we covered today is helpful to you in seeing how human design can be such a supportive and valuable tool in not only understanding ourselves, but understanding the young people we have in front of us in our classrooms too. And with that, we have come to the end of our time together today. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. As always, if you would like to message me or if you have any questions, you can always reach out to me via DM on Instagram at The Inspired Teacher Co. I will see you in the very next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Bye for now. Well, that's it for now. Thank you so very much for tuning into today's episode. I love connecting with people and talking everything human design and education. So if you would like to keep this conversation going, or if you have any questions about today's topic, I'd love for you to connect with me on Instagram at The Inspired Teacher Co. And if you found this episode helpful, please do share it on your Instagram stories and tag me at The Inspired Teacher Co. I'd love to hear back from you, and this will also help spread the word about this show so that it can help more teachers just like you use the power of human design to uncover their own unique path to teacher excellence and personal fulfillment. All right, beautiful teacher, I appreciate you being here and I'll catch you on the next episode. Bye for now.